Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Welcome back to our podcast, Defined by Moments, where we're moving through the book of Proverbs. If you remember from our last episode, we started what I call the 30. There are 30 wise sayings that Solomon has recorded for his son, and they are buried between Proverbs chapter 22 all the way through Proverbs chapter 24. So we are going to cover these, and we're doing them in small increments, so the smaller bites are more digestible and easier for us to remember. But I want to back up. Every single one of these, as we look at the 30, we're going to talk about the reason that Solomon has done this. He made that plain in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 19, where he says that these are written that your trust may be in the Lord. And if you remember from verse 17 specifically, there are three phrases there that lay out for us what he wants his son, as well as for us, to do. That first phrase is incline your ear. He wants us to listen. The second phrase is to hear the words. He wants us to learn. And the third phrase is apply your heart, meaning that he wants us to live. So as we're going through these 30, always be thinking about this. Listen, learn, and then live. So number 7, the seventh of these 30 sayings, is in Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Solomon writes, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven." As we have done with these first 6, we're going to continue the same cycle. We're going to do the summary, and then we're going to discuss. The summary here is very simple. Prosperity is a poor purpose for life. You know, Solomon here is talking about that we shouldn't toil just to acquire wealth. We shouldn't work so that we get. We shouldn't work even harder so that we get more. I mean, there's a parable in the New Testament that Jesus told of this rich man who had a tremendous harvest. And what did he do? He said to himself, "I'm going to build bigger barns so that there's more for me." Instead of turning around, instead of sharing that, he hoarded it for himself. So for workaholics to put all their time and all their effort into accruing money, into accruing things, think about it. It's going to evaporate. When you die, and every single person will die, you don't put those in the coffin with you. You can't take them with you. You know, we talk about investment. Well, sometimes investing is a risk because, you know, the gains that you make can be gone the next day. That's what he is saying here. Don't spend everything that you have working to gain things because they're going to sprout wings and fly away in a flash. So prosperity is a poor purpose for life. Now, verses 6 through 8 give us number 8. Solomon writes, "Do not eat bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies. For he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." Like, ooh, what is really going on here? There's significant power here. Verse 8 wraps this up when it says, "You will vomit up the morsels that you have eaten and waste your pleasant words." The summary is simple. All who seem nice are not. We see this image where this guy is saying, "Hey, eat and drink, enjoy yourself," while the whole time internally he would rather see you just completely collapse and fall apart. This term that we see translated in the ESV here, in our English translation of stingy, really comes out as one who is evil. In other words, they say one thing and they do something completely different. They bring you in and they pretend to be your friend the whole time they are working behind the scenes to bring your destruction. Verse 8, where it says that you're going to spit up those morsels that you have eaten and you're going to waste your pleasant words. You're going to feel that you're part of this group. You're going to say such nice things about them. And then when the truth comes out, you realize that you have been deceived. So we need to make sure that we recognize that all who seem nice to us are not. Number 9 is in verse 9. Solomon writes, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words." The summary, the lesson for us in life and in leadership, is that reasoning with fools is a waste of time. There are certain individuals that no matter when they are confronted with truth, when they are confronted with the overwhelming evidence of what has happened, they will not yield. This aspect of fools, remember way back to the beginning when we started the series, a fool is someone that has made a purposeful choice not to hear wisdom. It's not that they didn't know any better. Oh, they knew better, but they chose to go that direction anyway. So if you're trying to use logic in the presence of a fool, they don't care. He's going to despise the good sense of your words, and he's going to make you a target of opposition. So we need to make sure that we avoid those that are foolish. Number 10, this 10th wise saying, is in verses 10 and 11. This is almost a restatement of something that we saw earlier, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But verse 10 reads, "Do not move an ancient landmark or enter into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong, and he will plead their cause against you." The summary of this is important for us in our modern day as well. If we purposefully wrong the helpless, God will become their avenger. You know, in our modern culture, there is a series of movies called the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where all of these comic book characters are being brought to the big screen. And, you know, the biggest one that really came out was the Avenger series, and there have been multiple of these movies. But we think of, here comes a bad situation, and these superheroes, these Avengers, come to our rescue. The imagery of that fits perfectly for here, because if we are intentionally wronging those that are the most helpless, God, the good guy, will show up and he will avenge their wrongs. And in doing so, that's going to cost us dearly. This is really a deeper statement of what we saw over in chapter 22 and verse 28, where it says, "Do not remove the ancient landmark that your fathers have set." And we talked about those aspects of that means boundaries. So when Solomon is restating this, don't remove the ancient landmark. Respect the boundaries. And then it says, or enter into the fields of the fatherless. It's that same aspect of intentionally stealing and intentionally doing things wrong to those that you don't think have someone that will stand up for them. You see them as an easy take. But yet God, who created the universe, who is the only wise judge, he sees it all, and he will bring it to pass. Statement number 11. Is in verse 12. Solomon tells his son, "Apply your heart to instruction and your ear to the words of knowledge." What this simply means for us is to truly live, you must listen and learn. Whoa! Where have we heard those three words before? Right. So Solomon has taken what he said as his introduction and he has actually infused them here into one of his wise sayings, where he is talking about apply your heart. We need to live it. What do we need to apply the heart to? That our ear has heard those words of knowledge, that we've listened and we have learned. The head and the heart matter, because what goes into the head makes its way into your heart, and together those two things manifest themselves with action by your hands. This central group of 8 that we're looking at, verse 12 is the most important. To truly live, you must listen and learn. Statement number 12 is in verses 13 and 14. Solomon writes, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from the grave." Here in verses 13 and 14, we're not going to talk about the aspect of corporal punishment. That is the imagery that Solomon is using, but the summary that's important for us is that correction is a purpose. Correction is a person's preparation. Now think about this 12th statement and how it comes on the heels of that restatement of the purpose. To truly live, you must listen and learn. Solomon knows what he's doing here. He is reinforcing the one that was immediately before it, and he points to the aspect that if you withhold discipline from a child, what's going to happen? Then they're not going to learn to go in the right direction. But if you do correct them, if you do discipline, if you do teach, then you are going to save them a life of heartache. In fact, the contrast here is their soul will not go to death, their soul will not go to the grave. In fact, they will have a soul that experiences life. We live in a culture where so many people believe that if I love my child, I'm going to let them get away with whatever. I'm going to give them everything that they want. No, actually what we're doing is we're training a generation of people that do not know how to deal with the word no. We have to train. We have to teach. If not, then we are going to create a generation of fools. That when they are confronted with wisdom, when they are confronted with truth, they're going to intentionally choose it. To avoid it, to walk away with it, to disrespect it. Why? Because they have not experienced real love. And sometimes love is painful. Because you have to speak the words of truth, even though they may bring some pain. So correction is a person's preparation. The amazing part of this is notice in verse 13, it says, if you strike him with a rod. Now, let's go back to our series that we were looking at with Psalm 23, where we talked about rodding the sheep, where the shepherd carried really two implements. One was the shepherd's crook, the long staff that could be used to retrieve sheep, or it could be used to fend off an attacker, and the rod. The rod was that short club that would be used to beat on a predator. But remember, we also talked about how the rod would be held over the back of the sheep as they went into the fold in the evening. They would feel that rod and know, oh, the shepherd is here. I am safe. I am protected. That rod was a comfort to those sheep. When you discipline your child, when you call others out for what they've done wrong, you are showing that you love them. You are showing that you're there to encourage them. And sometimes you have to love someone enough to offend them. The key to what we're seeing here with truly living, you've got to listen to learn, and that correction is a person's preparation. It's not behavior modification, but it's character formation. That's what Solomon is getting, really to the point here, and why the contrast with fools. The fools don't care about their character formation. So number 13, we look at verses 16 and 17. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. The statement here, number 13, parents should rejoice in their child's wisdom, not their child's wealth. That's important for us to understand. The innermost being here, this is one of those that we look at in modern culture and we chuckle at. Literally, the word is their kidney. The anatomical knowledge that they had back in this time period, they believed that the kidneys were the source for temperament, the source of emotion. They just didn't have the medical knowledge that we do today. But literally, it's talking about the reins of life, the things that control who you are. So he's saying that his innermost being, everything that controls who he is, would be rejoicing, would be filled with praise when his son has a wise heart. Not a wealthy hand, but a wise heart. And then the final statement that we are going to look at in this episode is in verses 17 and verse 18. Solomon says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. The statement, the summary, is simple. It seems counterintuitive, but simply it's this. Hope for the future comes from fear, not envy. Now you just heard that and went, say what? Joel, you've got to be kidding. Have you lost your mind? The answer to that is no. We should not envy sinners. We may look and see those that are evil that appear to be getting away with things. They may for a short time, but the judgment day is coming. We should not want to be like them. Instead, we should continue in the fear of the Lord. This goes all the way back to the initial thesis that Solomon laid out in chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And if you remember, the fear of the Lord is that attitude of awe toward God, and that we admire Him and we adore Him so much that it leads to specific actions in our lives so that we point others to worship Him. Instead of envying sinners, we should adore the Creator of us all. Why? Because in verse 18, He says, "Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Those that focus on wealth will eventually lose it. We've already talked about that. If this is all that they have is wealth, if wealth is their hope and wealth is going to expire and evaporate and go away, then what else is there for them? We may not have all the trappings that the world has to offer, but we have a future because we know the one who created the universe. We know the one that redeemed us. We know how this all ends, and God wins. So Solomon is laying this out for him. You know, we see later on that he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, and he talks about, you know, how everything that we do is vanity. It's worthless. And he comes to the conclusion, let us fear God, there's that phrase again, and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. My friends, as we look at numbers 7 through number 14 in these wise sayings, to truly live, you must listen and you must learn. Why? Because correction is a person's preparation. And if you are living in a life of despair right now, you don't feel that you have confidence and you're lacking hope, the solution for that is not to envy and want and desire what others have. The solution is to fear the Lord. Because putting your eyes on Him will put everything else in perspective. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.